There is one other group that I was keen to hear from for this programme. When a fish kill happens, we tend to hear from anglers, from conservationists, from industry reps and the agency officials that we heard here this morning and so on. But for the people living along a river, events like this can actually be quite traumatising. So on Thursday, I went to the lower reaches of the Blackwater catchment and talked to a few people who describe that river as a part of their lives.
I love looking at reflections on the river of the foliage, the trees and stuff like that. I love reflections. But obviously there's a lot of wildlife out there as well. Otters, kingfishers, herons. I love herons as well, you know.
Dennis Murray runs boat tours of the Blackwater River, mostly between Lismore and Capoquin.
How long are you on the river?
50, 51 years.
In a half a century on the same river. Does it ever get monotonous?
No. If you went out twice a day, the river was different every time. You never know what you're kind of going to see or, like, you know, particularly with the tide rising and falling. I'm a kind of Capoquin person and we deal a lot of the time with the tide. I'd always aim, if I was downriver, to go with the tide. And I have the best part of the river. I can go places in around the islands. I call it the Everglades when I have the tide. If I don't have the tide, I can't get in there, you know.
It's a very different way of looking at a day then, isn't it? Not by what the clock says or when the sun is rising or setting, but by the ebbing and the flowing of the tide.
Well, that's the way it was, you know what I mean? If you go back 100 years ago, there'd have been boats coming up from Yall. But like it might take them 3 or 4 days to get up because they're waiting for the tide or they're waiting for the wind. There's something, just the feel of the paddle going into the water and just paddling at your own pace, and you can stop or start or whenever you like, you know.
Would it sadden you if the river was to become just a channel for dirty water rather than a living, breathing thing?
Of course. It's been there for centuries and it's very important to keep it there. Like you can go out there to the, just beyond Capoquin there, and there, like you could see 10 or 15 people out there just at the rock and they're having a chat and having a look at the water. It's very popular for people to come and just sit there, you know, and watch the tide go in or out.
You have planted quite a lot of trees here. These are...
Yeah, these are oak.
What, 20, 25 years ago did you do that?
Yes, about that. And
coming along nicely.
Yeah, no, that bit has gone...
A few miles downstream from Capoquin, Kristen Jemison is the ninth generation direct descendant of the whiskey distiller John Jemison. She still lives on the banks of the river that she grew up beside.
It's always been there. It's part of me. And my mother brought over a rowing boat, a tinker-built rowing boat from Norway. She used to go out with my father of an evening. Can you imagine? And they go up on high with a tide and wait for half an hour and have their cup of coffee up by Capoquin and then drift down with a long line behind them, and catch sea trout.
I think that's about one of the most romantic things that I have ever heard. So they would row upstream.
Yes.
Have their little drink.
Yes.
Throw a fishing line out the back of the boat and then drift home.
And drift down with the tide.
Bringing dinner with them.
That's right. That's right. And I'm afraid that's an experience that we will never see again. There are no trout, and or very, very, very few. And the salmon numbers have also deteriorated. You know, it's so sad, because it's not there now.
What used you see?
Kingfishers, Can you imagine those blue flashes? And then all the winter waders. And one of the terrible things that has happened, and I mean it's really quite a disgrace, is that our plovers have gone. There are no plovers, golden plovers left, and the sound of them in the morning is just wonderful.
What does that do to you, that loss?
It's an emptiness, isn't it, when you think that they're no longer here. And I think
that happened during your lifetime as well.
Not in my lifetime, in half my lifetime. And I mean, that's due to so many different causes: drainage, forestry, and intensive farming, without a doubt.
Do you have a sense then of a river that's in distress?
Yes, I'll have to say that. And I don't think of it like that because I love it so much. But very sadly, I have to say that.
They started with a horse years ago, didn't you, Jim?
Yeah.
And their showers were to jump into the river.
Just a bit of a... afterwards. Called it a crush. Mm-hmm. A wooden horse.
A half an hour upstream by car in Fermoy, 90-year-old Jim Lycett goes for a walk on the banks of the Blackwater every day. Today, his wife Anne has joined him.
Go on, Anne, you take a seat there as well. Can I sit in between the two of you?
You can, of course.
Yeah. Tell me what's your name again.
Philip.
Is Voucher Hayes your second name?
It is.
Yeah. New names can be hard to keep a hold of. But the river is the way that Jim connects to all his old memories.
Yeah, I love this place. It means a lot. All the people I knew walked here, rode in the river, swam. Walked.
His dad, his father rode here and all, you know.
Yeah.
Your father rode here. And
my dad rode here.
If you answer yes to this question, you might get in a bit of trouble, but I'll defend you in court if it comes to it. When you were a boy, did you ever take a pearl out of one of the pearl mussels in the river?
I probably did. I did.
You're owning up to that.
That's a long time ago.
My friend did, Your Honour. They were highly prized, those pearls, weren't they?
It's a long time ago. I have a very vague memory of it. But I remember the shell. I mean, just like we see a mussel. You know, a mussel that you'd find on the beach or by the riverbank. And the pearl they don't look anything in the raw state like that, you know. I think they need a bit of culture or something, maybe.
There were people came over from Scotland every summer and they'd go diving for the summer. And one year they came and they found, the rumour was that they did find a big mussel and somebody gave them good money and they didn't come back anymore after that. Isn't that true,
Jim? But Camille, the pearl that he's saying that he found, did he present this to you in a ring or in a necklace by any chance?
Maybe another lady before my time.
Are you going to plead the fifth on that one?
I think about it.
What's your favourite time of day on the river, Jim?
Well, any time is lovely. Early morning is lovely, but the evening here is very special. Just the place it is, it means so much with all we've experienced here.
When you see the river getting polluted and you see insects and animals like that getting affected, how does it make you feel, Jim?
Oh, I feel very sick. Sick. It has been polluted, and we have seen fish kills, big fish kills, hurt you.
It hurts you.
You feel the river is almost a part of it, you know, or you're a part of it. Yeah, we just love the river.
Jim Lycett has published a collection of writing on the river that appeared in the Avondhu newspaper over the last four decades. You can only buy it in the DIY store or the newsagents in Fermoy, nowhere else. Dennis Murray will take you out on a kayak to drift past Lismore Castle. That is something that should be on everybody's bucket list. Blackwater boat tours. And forget House of Guinness, people. House of Jemison, Turin House, is open to the public and it is absolutely beautiful.